Welcome to the TwoSportsNuts.com. John Mulhern being joined now by Chris Kushner. And for people who don't know about the story, Chris, you were diagnosed with cancer about a year and a half ago now. You finally got back on the ice March 5th with the Las Vegas Wranglers. And, I mean, take us a little bit back to the backstory. You were with the Wheeling Nailers for a couple years right out of college. You were with Bakersfield for half a year. And then after the 2011-2012 season, you went and got checked out after the season. And things kind of went downhill after that.
Yeah, I spent the latter part of the 2012 season trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I was just experiencing a lot of dull, achy, radiating pains in my back. And I was seeing, chiropractors, physiotherapists trying to get that situation resolved. And, they were telling me a bunch of different things. And by the time I got home, my case was pretty serious. And I went to the hospital just severely unwell, and they were able to determine what it was. And it was, stage 4 testicular cancer.
When you get the news like that, the first thing that I think would go through anybody's mind is, anything I was doing is pretty much puts the nail in the coffin there. But at least that'd be my first thought. What was your first initial reaction to that kind of news?
Yeah.
Like you said, at the end of, everybody's got bumps and bruises after the end of the hockey season. The last thing you would imagine to get through a diagnosis like that.
Yeah, it was, my heart dropped, and I was there on my own, I remember, and the person who broke the news to me couldn't really tell me much, but my first thought, actually, I remember, was, how can this be? But also, I'm a hockey player. I need to get back to playing. Like, right away, I was just thinking, I want to play hockey. Like, when am I going to be able to do that again? And for me, it was never, why did this happen to me? Or I never asked why. I was always about how are we going to get this figured out? How are we going to get to this situation? And that was kind of my attitude going through it. But it certainly was, a situation where I was full of anxiety and nervousness and, of course, all those negative emotions that you go through. But at the end of the day, here we are. Turn something negative into something positive.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention you played college hockey at Robert Morris University, 4-year player that ended up as their captain, I believe, for at least the senior season, correct?
I finished up as a captain there, and I was assistant from sophomore and junior year as well. That was a program that raised a lot of money for me, and that they had my back the whole way through.
And that's exactly why I bring them up, because it seems, and you think with the way the internet works and social media works, 5, maybe 10 years ago, something like this may not happen on the scale that it did, but as soon as you got the diagnosis, there was Twitter started picking it up on it. Robert Morris came right behind it as a former players, current players were still pretty young at the time. So
yeah.
I remember I saw the coach quote in the paper saying, how do I go talk to these current players? And, hey, the guy who was with us from the early beginnings, has to go through something, but they were really the ones that kind of started the rally.
Well, I kept it to myself for a little bit, for the first little bit, and it wasn't until my situation got even more serious than it was, and I really needed the help, that I started reaching out. And I told them basically that there was nothing left that the Canadian system could do for me, and that's what I was told. And, when you're in that situation, you'll reach out and find any way to get things, to get the situation resolved. And I was fortunate to find a doctor in the U.S., and they gave me a quote on it, and I knew my family couldn't afford it. So, that's when I reached out to RMU and started making it more public. And, we didn't know if we were going to be able to find a way to raise all the money, but certainly, all the good people around me, and especially the hockey community, really rallied together and made this all possible.
And since it's an internet podcast, you can't see it, but you're wearing the Lindstrom, Lance Armstrong bracelet, as well as your own Crush Cancer bracelet. That was one of the big swells and T-shirts. And I guess I really kind of did start with Robert Morris, that being what can we do? And at the time, and still currently, the wristbands are still kind of the hot thing to go for charity type things.
They began. It was the coach who came up with the Crush Cancer slogan, and that's been the initiative, and it's in the process of becoming a foundation now. But it's I certainly owe them a big hand in this, because they started with charity events, they started with making the shirts, and I carried that on through the ECHL as well. The Wheeling Nailers have sure the Condors, I'm sure, and I'm sure now that I've got a new great home here in Vegas, I'll make a shirt with them as well. You know, and it's just been great. The support all around has been fantastic at the NHL level, down to grassroots programs, and here in the ECHL, it's been really cool to see.
We'll touch on the NHL in a moment, because I think that's really, really interesting what happened there. But talk a little bit about Wheeling and Bakersfield. You were with the, you had been and played, including the game on March 5th. I don't think you've come close to playing 82 games. In your career yet. Wheeling, a team you were with, you got away from them, whether it's a trade or free agency, end up in Bakersfield. They have a jersey for you for an entire year at Bakersfield. They start connecting you to their Relay for Life program and start helping raise funds that way. Not only from the financial standpoint, because obviously that is a huge help with the medical bills, but just from a personal standpoint, knowing that these guys
It came at the perfect time because I really needed an emotional boost. And at that time, I hadn't, you know, gone very public with it. But like I said, when I needed the fundraising, that's when I did. And I also didn't realize that with that came, you know, so much support that I actually really needed at that time. And I was very blessed to play in Wheeling. And there were a couple key contributors there. Zach Torcato, who's in there now. A few of the guys that were injured and scratched at the time would just walk around the rink and receive donations from people. And they made up jerseys and they sent me a jersey autographed by the team. You know, just great people that I played with, and I spent, you know, a little bit of time there, but we had a good playoff run, and it seemed like we actually spent much more time than we actually did together. And then in Bakersfield, yeah, they were fantastic. That came from the Booster Club there that really spearheaded a lot of the fundraising campaigns and brought that up with management, and they would hold jersey auctions, and I couldn't believe, you know, some jerseys were going for $5,000, and you know, they've connected with the Relay for Life. I went there last week, and we raised some more good money. I think $33,000 in total for the Relay for Life. So it's cool to see the fruits, you know, of the struggle now. And it's cool to see everything come together.
Well, and certainly something like this, you know, it does kind of rally everybody. All the teams now, whether it has happened in recent years or years past, I know this weekend with the 7th and the 8th games, the Idaho Steelers, they have their pink and the rink nights, so they're going to be auctioning off jerseys. I've been with the team now 6 years. 6 years they've been doing that since I've been out here. I think Las Vegas has a pink in the rink, but I think they actually changed the rank.
Yeah,
pink. Bakersfield has it. A lot of teams in the ECHL. Obviously, it's not just a one-person thing, but the fact that everyone's kind of picking up
You know what? Yeah, it's only been probably over the last, like, 10, 15 years that awareness for cancers altogether and, like, you know, global support has really expanded. And I think that has a large part to do with, like you said, social media. That's one of the great benefits of it. But I think that it's important that people realize that these types of initiatives and these types of events are critical to the groundbreaking cancer research that we've come up with, because a person like me in my severe situation would have had no chance at being here talking with you right now if it weren't for the great funding put into research programs. So that's a big part of, you know, what I want to do after hockey, and actually probably while I'm still playing, is pick up the Crush Cancer Foundation and donate the proceeds to my oncologist, who is one of the most renowned oncologists in the world, to his research team. And I know that they've come up with some amazing, you know, they come up with some amazing treatments, and so it's important that people continue to support these initiatives.
You're listening to Two Sports Talk podcast interview, John Mulhern with the cancer survivor and current Las Vegas Wrangler, Chris Kuchnerik. And Chris, we mentioned social media and how it exploded, and you are from Canada, but the one thing that really struck me was started the college level with Robert Morris University, expanded to the ECHL, your playing days there. I was somewhat shocked that it got to the NHL level. You had guys, you know, Chris Neal of the Ottawa Senators, Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers, among many others, but the other, a Crush Cancer hockey game. I don't know if they had one in previous years and they just attached that to it, or if it was something that, hey, this guy needs help, we've got names to help pull him in, but
yeah,
even the NHL was stepping in here.
Yeah, everything kind of fell into place the way that it had to, though. Like, there was a lock-in at that time, and, you know, it was terrible, but for me, it enabled, you know, some availability for those guys. It was sponsored by Gongshou Hockey, and they threw, it was a fantastic event. A lot of people had fun, and unfortunately I couldn't be having fun with them, but it was really cool to see. But one of the big contributors was Mike Fisher, and what he did for me, you know, he's become a great friend of mine, and he reached out to me, and he's been a tremendous spiritual influence. And him and Carrie Underwood, they would send, you know, autographed guitars for auctions, and he would, you know, donate He would donate money as well, and it was just great to have a good friend there who, you know, throughout the struggle, he would reach out to me and check on how I was doing. At one point, I actually lost his number, and he asked me, and I was like, who is this? And, but yeah, it's cool. It's good to see that a person, you know, in that kind of situation is able to, you know, look beyond themselves and reach out to others. And, it was awesome to see everyone come together, and I've been able to make some good friendships throughout this too.
And doing a little bit of the research, we talked about different fundraising. Peter's right now that the fundraising has covered approximately half of what the medical bill would be. Your family was able to help out a huge way in that way, again, from some of the research I was able to do there. So the community really kind of picking up the tab, if you will, and carrying that flag. You mentioned weren't able to play in the Crush Cancer hockey game. August 7th, 2013 will probably be one of those days that you won't ever forget. And I'll kind of let you explain what exactly happened that day.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I flew into Indianapolis because I wanted to go see my doctor for my follow-up. And, this was a big one because I just had my operation in March, a huge operation. And the bone marrow transplants were complete, and I was finally starting to get back on my feet again. So this appointment was one of the most critical ones. And the news came back all good. The scans were good. The blood work was good. And he told me that I could play hockey again. And, you know, I remember I was just so excited. And, you know, it was just awesome to be able to celebrate, you know, that victory with him, because after receiving very little hope from all the other oncologists or doctors that I've spoken with, he was the guy that was always supportive and told me, right when I saw him, basically, you know, picked up the remains of me and told me he'd get me back on the ice, and he did. So, I'll certainly be giving him, you know, my first jersey for playing back here. And, you know, it's hard to really thank someone like that for saving your life, but, you know, that's what he does, and he's a great person.
Now, you were clear, all the scans came back, but, you know, it was at that point probably about a year or so, give or take, since you had the original diagnosis. That'd be about...
Yeah, exactly. It was a little more than a year. And then once December hit, December of 2013, so just a few months ago, actually, that was the mark that I had to get to get down to like a 2% chance of relapse. So it was actually everything leading up to December that was, you know, that was a little bit nerve wracking. But once I got to December, I could really, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, and a weight was definitely lifted off my shoulders.
And I would imagine you push yourself pretty hard to get back into.
Oh yeah,
one thing.
Yeah, up until it was funny because after the operation in March, I had to do another 4 months of oral chemotherapy, but I was just so sick of being bedridden that I forced myself to get out of bed and get in the gym. And yeah, I had to start with 10-minute walks, and then I'd be just completely gassed. And then, you know, eventually I kept pushing myself to get back on the ice. And I credit that, you know, that mindset, that determination to get back into hockey to a reason why I was able to recover so well.
Who helped push you through that time? Because that's something that, I mean, I've never even come close to experiencing anything like that. But you hear about, you know, not even close to compare to cancer, but ACLs,
yeah,
knees and things of like that. The rehab is so hard, but the support system you had to have, whether it was your mother or father or family or other hockey players, helped push you through those 10-minute walks, make them.
There was a gym in particular back home. It's called the Greco Lean Fit at the Upper Hunt Club location, and they just basically gave me personal training services for free to help me get back on my feet again, because I was a member there before. But you know what, there was, like, a lot of it was just determination and will, because I would just remember when I was lying there in bed, you know, just dreaming of that moment to be able to start training again. And then, you know, who knew at that time that I would be back here playing, but, that was what I just wanted to do. And that was what I missed so much. And just being able to get out and get that rush again from, you know, getting a good lift or getting a good skate. And that meant so much to me. It was actually a good part of the psychological recovery from it too.
You mentioned you were just back in Bakersfield this past weekend, the 28th of February, March 1st, that weekend, for their hockey fund. Out of that, they were playing the Las Vegas Wranglers that weekend, as a matter of fact. And it turns out you get a contract with the Wranglers. You've shown them something, whether it was a personal, you know, a private tryout or whatever. And Mike DeBill, the head coach there, probably someone you've known when he was a player a couple years ago. But you get a contract. I mean, you were hoping for that. Was there anything you expected coming out of that weekend?
Well, I was hoping. Mike was actually away because he was just His wife was just giving birth, actually, so he was there going to see his newborn. I was there, and it was just really neat because there was a little bit of dialogue between myself and Vegas at the time. And then, I got to see, I was friends with the goalie, Mitch O'Keefe, who's injured right now. But I got to see them and talk to them a little bit. And then it was afterwards that, the wheels really started getting in motion. But I've been, determined to get back here, and I was telling them that I was ready. It might be a bit of an adjustment having not played in almost 2 years, but, I know I can be a key contributor, and I'm just so thankful that Vegas has given me a shot here. And, I can't wait to just help the team out, and my loyalty is here for them giving me that chance, and I can't wait to help this team go on a playoff run and make some noise in the league.
What was it like? You had your first couple of shifts after. My position with the Ottawa Steelers is I'm down all night between the benches, so you took a pretty good hit along the Vegas Wranglers bench there about halfway through the second period. But what was it to go into the room with the guys and get the pads on and get back out there and take that first
shot? Yeah, I remember that actually. No, we gave it to each other, I think.
No, there was a couple of 6 seconds before
that. Yeah, exactly. It was so cool though. It was something that it was just everything that I was hoping for and more. Just getting back out there again, and for a little while I felt like I was dreaming, really. It just kind of happened so fast, and it was just a lot of fun. Brought back so many good memories, but at the same time, I know that I've got to continue improving and got to continue to put in the work and help this team get some more wins.
Well, you're at the beginning of your career, and you're on a list of players who have overcome cancer and been able to continue to play in the NHL. Mario Lemieux, Phil Kessel, John Cullen, Saku Koivu, and Jason Blake. And now you get Chris Chisnaris on that list. That's a pretty good list. You're going to be on a list with those guys.
Yeah.
You'd like it to be the goal-scoring list, but still, if anything, that sends a message to yourself and to anyone else who might come across this that testicular cancer and everything else is certainly something beatable. And I know for myself and for the Steelheads and for ChewSportsNuts.com, we wish you all the best. And we do really appreciate your time because I think some of the guys getting out of the hotel, so you probably got to go for lunch. But no, I appreciate your time and best of luck the rest of the way.
You're very welcome. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you again soon.
Yeah, I'll be down there for the next couple of nights. So.
Sounds good.
Thanks again. Thank you for tuning in, for listening to ChewSportsNuts.com interview with Chris Chisnaris. Tune in for our regular scheduled podcast earlier this week.